Hi everyone. As part of Access, we have asked a few designers to share a little bit about their journey in UX design and user research. We'll be hearing from five UX designers from various regions about how they got into UX design, what their work looks like, learnings and challenges, and what advice they would give to someone who is new to the UX and user research space. I will let them introduce themselves and tell you a little bit more about their story. We also have a written version of their responses linked below. Hope you enjoy.
Hello, I am Sage Chang. My gender pronoun is she, her. I am an alien in New York. I do digital experience research and engagement for an advocacy group. It's called Access Now, an international human rights organization. At Access Now, this means I manage site design and make digital security tips to help frontline communities. I have a MFA in communications. My background is in advertising and publishing, but my heart goes with visual communications. My day-to-day work can be described as design advocacy. I advocate for the protection of human beings using technology. Recently, I have been working on identity management for human rights defenders. This is quite a challenge. Young girls in Egypt get arrested for sharing their outfits and lifestyles on TikTok. Dissidents suffer doxing and discrediting campaigns for participating in demonstrations. People in multiple countries are facing physical security threats due to personal information leaks. Especially now, during the COVID-19 pandemic, it has become harder and harder for us to enjoy the free and open internet as we know it. Digital identity management has almost become a surviving skill for netizens. In a way, it's like playing a game. You get rewards for fixing the broken parts and hitting points. But any reckless move can have real consequences. I got lucky because I'm part of a community. This community is formed by people who believe in and work to advance a human rights-centered design mindset. The community includes user researchers, designers, tool developers, digital security trainers, with a diverse background. My advice for anyone who is eager to enrich yourself with knowledge in usability and design: recognize, appreciate, and make full use of the community you're in. Access has provided us a perfect platform. Let's take this opportunity. Make connections. Share personal stories, compare differences, and learn from each other.
My name is Helen, pronoun she, her. I live and work in sub-Saharan Africa. Mainly, I deal with training people on new concepts, and right now my line of work is digital security, in particular how to deal with online harassment. And the community that I deal with at the moment is young women, tech-savvy women, women who are trying to use to include digital security into their career and making it a source of livelihood. Trainings can take on different forms. It depends on how much time we have, but I try always to cover a few key areas. For example, I will teach mail envelope when I'm discussing email encryption, how to communicate safely, especially for organization. A mail envelope is easy to use. It's convenient to download, so it would more or less appear on every session I had. For phone communications, I will contribute with Signal and just try to explain to people how different it is from WhatsApp. May I give another option like Wire and Telegram. Tor Browser will definitely come up. I really like Tor Browser. I've had the pleasure of working in their UX lab and learning. It's a dedicated bunch of people, and it's very nice to share the information that I learned to my community. So that always comes up. The other tools offhand would be maybe for VPN because we have shutdown issues and internet restrictions. So for VPN, I would go for Siphon, also Tor Browser for Android, Allbot or Fox, and then maybe Privacy Badger as a way of just improving their navigation. How I got into design and UX is quite by accident, happily. I met the team that were visiting Kampala. It comprised of Megan and John. And well, I was co-facilitating a session that they were at. And I was talking about a tool I was working on at the time, a project by Amnesty International. And we got to talking, and immediately it clicked how important usability was. It seemed for me like Eureka. This is something that I was looking for, something that resonated with all the challenges I had had thus far as a trainer. And I started to communicate with the team, and they invited me to participate in trainings. And of course, this huge opportunity to help give a little bit of insight in the development of their persona template. Day to day, my work looks mostly like interacting with past participants, people who I have trained before or who are in the community, checking on them, seeing what they need, helping them connect with each other is very important. And the other part of the time, I am looking for resources or coming up with ideas of how to create interactive workshops. So learning, and learning with fun, learning methodologies that stick. Learning with experience, engaging participants. It's just a whole mess because it's very difficult to have this education here. I did not go to school or earn a degree in it, so it has to be self-taught. So there's a lot of resources that I have to sit down and revise to prepare for one session. I have to prepare months in advance. An interesting project that I have worked on in the past is something we also partnered with Internews. They had this amazing idea to write a booklet, an end user guide explaining what digital security was to just the ordinary run-in-the-mill person on the street. But we were targeting female readers just to address this issue of online violence in sub-Saharan Africa. So it was such a long process, but a very exciting one because we were learning every day what to write, what not to write, how to compose paragraphs, how to use analogies. My God, it was a learning experience for me and also for the reader. A thing that I find challenging is collecting feedback. It's as challenging as it is in interesting because you might go in a maybe slightly biased with your questionnaire that you've worked very hard on. The questions have been reviewed and approved, and you're riled up to get a certain set of results. And then you test with people, you test with groups, and they give you a huge blow to your ego, to everything that you had preconceived, everything that you thought would happen, or the kind of data that you anticipated to receive. And it's always challenging, because then you have to go, you even sometimes realize that the question that you are asking is not relevant anymore. You should be asking different questions. I find it challenging, but a happy challenge. When I need help or assistance, normally I will search online and try to troubleshoot the issue. But I'm quite amazed by the quality of the individuals that I have within the community that I am in. And everybody has bright ideas. Everybody is really, really intelligent and smart and amazing. And we help each other out. Just text a friend an issue and boom, they have your back. I have a few people from InterNews. I have one very close friend from Zimbabwe, and so many more. So I don't lack a place to go when I need help. For a person who is starting to learn about UX and user research, I would first say congrats on choosing this path. It's a kind of process that will only bring you dividends. You indeed start to see things differently, and you can use what you have learned in your daily life. Something that is always constantly on my mind and makes me chuckle up a bit is when I go to a place, we have one of these doors which you don't quite know whether to push in to or pull out. And that's a UX issue. The people who designed that door should have done more user research, in my opinion. Unless you have already studied psychology as part of your education, you must be ready and willing to explore aspects of the human mind and behavior, relearning things that most times we take for granted. And as you are preparing the objectives of any research that you want to conduct with a certain sample of or group of people, yes, it should be aimed at solving a problem, fixing an issue, creating a new feature on a tool, but also leave a little bit of wiggle room. Be open to finding insights. Be open to learning something that you didn't already know about your own tool.
Hello everyone, I'm Memo Esparza, he and him. I live in Mexico, in the Mexico's second biggest city. It's called Guadalajara. And my focus right now is on open source and open design. I got into design in UX because first I studied product design, like industrial design, physical products. Then after a few years in that area, I got a little bit turned down by the design at that time in the world, especially the design of physical products, because I thought that it was an industry that just was just fulfilling the needs of the market and in order to create products that people needs or they think that they needed. So I grew a little bit uncomfortable with that idea, and I basically quit design for a few years, and I turned back to take entrepreneurship. So I started working on a couple of projects with a few friends from my university. We had the opportunity to present our work at a huge tech conference in Hong Kong. So that's where my career path turned to tech. And then when I was like involved in a tech environment, I met my a friend and mentor that is a designer, and he helped me like regain my inner trust or my inner creative trust in the power that I have to change the world. So I was consider again myself a designer, and I started a whole new career, specifically in design for technology and UX, UI, and all of that jazz. So yeah, day to day, my work looks like a lot of calls. I have calls with a lot of people. I think that design is all about connections. So I am a designer, but the first thing that I value the most about design work is about the connections that you make. So my day-to-day work looks like that. A lot of calls, and then some focus work in the afternoon, and sometimes at nights. I'm a night owl. The most interesting project I've worked on, I think it's Open Collective. It's a startup that I contribute to. And I think that is the most interesting project that I've met, because I think it addressed one of the biggest issues that we have now, that is money management, and providing new ways and new possibilities to manage money from a community perspective. So I think that's great. And also, I think that the ultimate goal of Open Collective, and what I like the most, is that it's not about, you know, become profitable, even though that it's on the road. It's also a part of the goals. But the ultimate goal is to change people's mindset, so that people can think of communities in a different way and think about money in a different way. So that's seems like a very ambitious goal. So that's why I like it. I like to go after very ambitious goals, and I love that thrill. When I need help, I go talk to my mentors, and also I seek a space of solitude and calm to meditate, and yeah, really think through what the problem I'm stuck in. And I usually find the best solution thanks to the connections that I can make with others. And last but not least, what kind of advice would I give to someone as they learn about UX and user research? I think I will resume all of my possible advice with just one thing. Question everything. Question yourselves, question the information that you read, and question the people who are you know, above you in the decision chain. Question everything, and follow your best instinct. So yeah, that's it, and thank you very much.
My name is Alom, and I go by he, him. I work for a privacy-focused company called Dist Authority as a user researcher. I work both on a commercial and open-source cloud storage product called Private Storage, as well as on a number of other open-source tools. Part of my work involves making our tools available and usable for civil society organizations, with a special focus on the digital rights community. I got into UX when I started doing web design as a teenager. I really enjoyed the challenge of coming up with technical solutions for small things, as well as to have the creative space of a canvas to present something to a website visitor on. After working on international policy and human rights for a number of years, I decided to come back to the more tangible work of user experience, with a particular focus on user research. Day to day, my work consists of planning out research projects, a little bit of product management, and preparing follow-up steps from research findings. I have a lot of meetings in which I try to advocate for the user based on research findings, as well as for the need for user research to ensure our work is relevant and usable. Sometimes, but this really is only a small minority of my time, I conduct the actual research, for example, by interviewing people. Then a chunk of my work also involves synthesizing the data collected into research findings and recommendations, and providing input on various design questions that we face. A project I found very interesting is one I worked on recently. It involved understanding how people working for human rights organizations use file storage and sharing. In this project, we both wanted to understand more about people's behavior, as well as draw lessons for what that means for the secure cloud storage product that we work on. I think making that translation from real-world behavior that we are learning about into concrete product recommendations is always a fun challenge. Projects that I find particularly challenging to work on are ones that require a rather different mindset or experience from what people are used to or are familiar with. Generally speaking, when working on UX, you want to meet people where they are at with their thinking and with the technologies that they are familiar with. When you have to introduce a very new concept to them, that is pretty challenging. When I get stuck and need help, I reach out to people whose expertise I value. The smart and kind folks at Simply Secure are first on my list. As an advice to someone new to user research, I would first say, be open and feel comfortable to ask others for advice. I've come to know the UX community as incredibly generous with sharing knowledge and expertise, and with giving advice to anyone who asks for it, so make use of that. I would also say there are a ton of free online resources that are worth reading, such as blog posts and knowledge bases. The ones from Simply Secure as well as from the Norman Nielsen group come to mind. In addition, there are also many other valuable things to read, such as books, that can help you to get started. I, for example, benefited a lot from reading Just Enough Research from Erica Hall and It's Our Research from Tomer Sharon. One point there to remember is that you'll want to make sure that you don't do research on your own. Make sure others who make decisions based on the outcome of your research are involved with planning as well as with conducting the research. Other than that, practice, 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 and ask for feedback.
Okay. Hi, my name is Errol Fox. My pronouns are they, them, or she, hers. I'm pronoun agnostic, really, so you can use any pronouns with me. Sharing about my context, region, and the tools I work on in the industry focus. So the region where I'm located isn't necessarily where I do my work. But it can be. So I'm based in the southwest of the UK, in a city called Bristol. I worked until very recently at a organization which was based out of Kenya that did primarily a lot of work across East Africa, and Central Africa, South Africa, and some of the other sort of global South countries or developing countries, as you could describe them, so South America and across India and the Middle East. So that organization that I used to work for worked kind of mostly globally. My context is that I'm a UX designer or a product designer. I guess that's the title that I use, but I wouldn't say that I do everything that I do is which falls within that category. I do a lot of community-based stuff as well, but it's kind of tricky to categorize exactly what I do job-wise. I mean, it is a lot of design work, it is a lot of user research, and it is a lot of technology building and tools building and tool improvement, but I kind of move around the definition of design tasks, really. The tools that I work on or have worked on was a tool in the Kenyan organization. It was a data collection tool that was either hosted or you could deploy the open source code yourself and host it yourself. So at one point there was a software as a service model for it. And this data collection tool was used in and it kind of was talked about as a mapping tool as well, because it quite had a quite popular mapping feature within it, although really it was about data collection, not necessarily just about the kind of mapping of the data. And that was, yeah, a data collection tool that collected data from lots of different kinds of sources, so SMS and Twitter and through the web-hosted application through surveys that people could configure quite heavily, or even ingest data sets through CSVs or JSON files. So basically, it was like a big repository for data that also did location reasonably well. The specific cases that it's been used is a lot of election monitoring across countries that are like pushing for democratic processes, or countries that have democratic processes but actually kind of don't in like practice. So anti-corruption stuff, a lot of human rights advocacy, and kind of collecting information from citizens, so citizen sort of speaking truth to power sort of stuff. And a lot of that kind of work was often like by NGOs or often by individuals as well, and it would maybe be used to inform policy or kind of put forward a change in local government or central government. So yeah, that was a lot of its use. It was also used in healthcare data collection. It was used in environmental kind of projects where people kind of mapped maybe pollution or collected data on pollution from oceans or even air pollution. Really, there was kind of anything that you think that you might want to collect data on, there was likely a instance of data collection on that topic. There are even some quite unique and interesting data collection instances. So that was the tool that I used to work on a lot. I've since moved into a e-commerce open source tool that's around food systems, and I'm trying to kind of build sustainable community-led and I guess democratic, socially focused food systems, and to enable producers and growers and farmers globally to have a place at which to sell their produce through, you know, community organized hubs. So there is both functionality for producers to sell directly through this e-commerce platform, and also for individuals to kind of organize food hubs where producers can deliver their goods and then they can be sold on, and it's also, yeah, kind of a network as well. So I'm now more working in the context of food and food systems and technology tools that enable good food systems, really. I still do a fair bit of work in kind of the human rights space. At least that's my intention, to not stop doing work on other kinds of tools that are human rights focused. They're doing some other projects made around population management and education and kind of contraceptive education and stuff like that in different countries, and kind of managing the population from an environmental perspective. So working on a few different projects, and possibly one even about a little bit sort of about weapons tracking and monitoring as far as like a database and kind of in the space of kind of open information intelligence around arms. So those are the kinds of contexts and kind of spaces that I work in and do design work in specifically. So that covers that. It wasn't brief. How did I get into designing UX? Oh, I don't know whether that's going to be brief either. I studied art and design, but I had a real love for computers and technology in the early 2000s was when I did my degree. And so I actually did a degree in something called time-based media, which is an interesting area subject. But a lot of what that was promoting was the use of technology in creative expression and art. So actually I We did lots of film, we did lots of audio, we did lots of installation. We used like early web technologies. A lot of the students used early web technologies to investigate different kinds of art, really, and make art using that kind of thing. So from that art background, I moved into design because really art just wasn't a feasible career, and I liked to solve problems, And really my pathway into designing UX was really through a community project. I did a lot of volunteering for a community development project. I was pretty much almost a semi-full-time member of volunteer staff, doing a lot of work in the community, running homework clubs for, you know, asylum seeker families, kids, and migrant kids and underrepresented and under-supported demographics or socioeconomic backgrounds. And I did things like community gardening and environmental projects, the big funded projects, and I managed a lot of that stuff. And I was on like a community, on the community board. I think I was the vice chair of that community region at one point, and kind of did that for a good long time, just around about 7 years. So I've always been in the kind of community for good space, and those were some of the first times that I got actually to work on design projects freelance to then build my career and portfolio. In fact, the first design project I ever did was a mapping project, a local mapping project, which was based off of a project called Green Maps, which was a New York-based project. And I created like a green map of our local area in consultation with the residents, that kind of is now a permanent fixture in the local area as a signpost. Day-to-day, what does my... So that's how I got into UX and design, and then I just kind of, you know, got jobs in it. And then finally, it kind of ended up in the for good and human rights-ish design space, mostly, and open sourcey stuff. Day-to-day, what does my work look like? Oh, that's really tricky. It could really depend. I think that I like to approach my design work from a very conversational point of view. So I collaborate a lot. I don't do a lot of kind of solo heads down study, research, insulated, you know, work. I do my best stuff in collaboration. So I have a lot of conversations with people, sketch as those conversations are happening, whether or not they look like user interviews or whether they're just kind of, I guess they're a form of user interview, which is deeply kind of embedded and ethnographic in its kind of process, but without me really being intentional about that necessarily. It's just kind of how I gravitate towards things. So big say, a lot of conversations, a lot of reading, a lot of building resources as well. I tend to join organizations or work in organizations that are new to design practices. They require a lot of onboarding and adoption and support, figuring out what their design process looks like. Looking for different frameworks and tools that work really well. That's often what I do, is kind of try and be aware of and information gather. And then really defining needs and defining kind of projects or improvements or features eventually is like working with kind of product development, product management, and technology teams to really kind of work out what is the next piece of kind of feature work to work on a technology project. And then kind of going through sprint cycles of kind of, or just cycles of work, they're not with sprints, to improve products essentially, which kind of the typical process that was pretty well established towards the end of my last job, and what I'm hoping to bring into this new role is like a feature or a improvement that is based off of, you know, solid data, feedback, user need, has like a first instance, first creation, is collaborated on within a sprint or within a period of time, that is tested thoroughly in early iteration, that then kind of goes through the team as well as users, and then gets improved upon, and then you know, gets put into a release, and then continually improved upon through testing and through monitoring and making sure that everything works. In reality, that doesn't or you don't always have the time to do keep up with the things that you've deployed and make sure that they're working properly, it's kind of tricky. It's, without kind of tangenting, that's kind of what my day-to-day looks like. It tends to, but it really does depend what's going on at any given time. I've actually been giving a lot more workshops and doing a lot more building how we work with users in a participatory way, especially in my last role. I was doing a lot of that with one particular project, and kind of then digesting the artifacts, the design things from those workshops, and trying to figure out what process to use. So actually, you know, a lot of discovery work when able. What is the most interesting project you've worked on? Tricky question. I think trying to decide. I think I've got recency bias for a lot of this. But I honestly, I do think that one of the most interesting projects where I learned a lot and was presented with a lot of new challenges and a lot of new ways of doing things and a lot of exploratory work and a lot of good collaboration was a project at my last role, which was called Izuku, I-S-O-O-K-O. It's a key Rwandan word. So it means Fountain of Peace, I believe. So it was about technology and peace building. It was funded by the EU, so it was kind of restrictive in a lot of ways because it was kind of certain deliverables were needed and dictated by grants. But honestly, being able to work within the context of how do we do peace building activities that could leverage technology, and how do people, users, real humans trying to do peace building activity there on the ground in violent and traumatized and troubled communities, how do they actually want to use tech? Do they want to use tech? So I actually think that was a really interesting project. I would love to be doing more around technology and peace building in the future. I think that it was fascinating. The other interesting project is I am endlessly fascinated about the psychology and the environment, the cycle of crisis. So because I did a lot of work on crisis response in my last role, I find it very interesting to try and find how, again, people use technology in crises, and why and how it doesn't work in some cases and does work in other cases, and how it gets adapted and how cycles repeat themselves, like during different crises, if the same technology gets built and then gets forgotten about when the crisis isn't around, and all that kind of stuff. I think that is really, really interesting. It's more like how we actually respond to an event by using technology and repeating technology. So yeah, I think that's interesting. What's the most challenging project I worked on? Probably actually the same project. The peace building one, the peace building technology one and crisis one for sure. Purely because, not really from a design point of view or like, it was more from a frustrating structure, NGO, nonprofit, grant funding, deliverables, each member of consortium having different things that they needed to, boxes that they needed to tick to be able to receive their grant money within the consortium and things like that. So I think that the most challenging projects are often the ones where they are sort of, I kind of want to use the term strangled, but that doesn't feel like a nice term to use, but restrained by some of the kind of logistics that don't leave room for flexibility and exploration and discovery, really. And also with also the subject matter was challenging for me because it was intensely personal and intensely something that I felt like a lot of responsibility as a designer, especially working that closely with the users. I kind of felt a deep sense of responsibility to the people that I was working for and with that. When you need help, where do I go for assistance? My online communities, absolutely 100%, or my in-person communities pre and hopefully post-COVID. I actually really love online communities anyway because you get a wide thought pool in a way. I found that when I started going to online communities of people everywhere in the world with a problem or with a statement or with an idea or with anything really, that the kind of responses that you would get do give you more different kinds of data points and more information and more richer information in a sense than maybe your local communities. Not that local communities also aren't good. Also, when I need help with something very, very specific, sometimes I will look to books and resources and PDFs and repositories of information. I will maybe even, if I don't know where to find those things, like I've already found that resource, then I will maybe search for it online, essentially, or ask people within the communities for a specific kind of resource. But I do really value being able to refer to published materials, whether that's published by a kind of book publisher or whether it's self-published or anything like that. I do kind of look to that. Depends on the kind of assistance, really. But yeah, those are really the two things. What advice would I give to someone else as they're learning about UX and user research? I do a fair amount of like mentoring, and I get asked questions a lot, which is always really, really nice to be kind of looked at as a useful source of like guidance and information. Though from my tone, you can probably tell that it still sort of baffles me sometimes that I am, but I suppose. I would say, as they're learning about UX and user research, I say things like curiosity is one of the most useful things that a designer can try and cultivate, like a genuine curiosity about how people work, how things work, how people work in relation to things. Things like I talk about listening skills, like how you have conversations and how you listen and how you engage with the world around you, and how you form that into thoughts and hypotheses and noticing problems and being aware and being responsive to situations and environments and things like that. Placing yourself into relevant and appropriate timed communities and events and things to discover things that you're interested in. I think that I really super value that approach to UX and user research. And I would also advocate for finding a community that is supportive, that you enjoy being around. I think that sometimes design and, it's actually still quite a profession that you, unless you're working in big corporates or, big budget places, you tend to not be working with directly with a lot of other designers, so finding a community that can be supportive is actually super important and actually critical when you're working solo or working in small teams. Read, learn, have conversations, ask people questions, and also don't. I know that this is a super specific to my location, as in maybe Europe or maybe even the UK, but I here there is not such a focus put on certifications or formal education so much on being and doing UX and user research. So I think I meet a lot of folks that are nervous that they don't have qualifications, or they don't think that they can do it, or they don't believe that they can transition into a UX and user research career. So I do try and encourage them to not be too hung up on feeling like they need to be complete experts in things before trying things out. And that's really the advice that I give. There's slightly different advice that I give or insight that I give when people are particularly interested in humanitarian kind of work. Doesn't differ really too much, but it kind of just, I add a little bit of extra stuff around like trying to learn how funding works and how NGOs kind of operate sort of slightly differently than for profits and things like that, just being interested and keen on that as well as the design side of things. Cool. Right, I think that is all the questions that were there. I hope this recording has worked. Let's see. Thanks.